Now it's time for Culture Shocks with your host, Barry Lynn.
All right, we are back. We're chatting with Nikki Stern. She's the author of the new book, Hope in Small Doses, a book I really like. I blurbed the book. She's kind enough to put a little piece of my review of it on the very front of the book. When you say there's some things we can't know, do you literally mean that no matter what we do, no matter how much human reason we apply to the task, there are some things that simply cannot now and never will be explained?
Well, the wonderful thing that I discovered about myself and about the kind of hope that I'm advocating, which, by the way, is not a popular view of hope I discovered at all. But the wonderful thing about not knowing is we also can't say never. I know that people who say things like might and should and it's possible and I can't really say for sure are seen as wishy-washy. And in fact, I've been told that being an agnostic, which is really a way of saying, I can't say for sure,
right,
so I'm going to have to live my life not being able to say for sure. I've been told that people have said, well, that's hedging your bets. Well, so what? I mean, in other words, the fact is we think we can't know something, and we may yet know it, and we may find out that it's different from what we thought we knew. But we cannot, and I do believe this strongly, it is an ill-advised past, in my opinion, to let all this unknowingness wear you down. From a very simple standpoint, it's not fun,
right?
And it's not productive. But I think that we have to then cut ourselves some slack in terms of saying what is productive, what is purposeful, what our lives mean. But at the same time, not try to tie that meaning into absolute certainty about absolute knowledge.
The great philosopher read by people in community colleges and universities all over the world, Albert Camus, says the only philosophical question really is suicide. That is to say, should we go on at all? Because maybe things are literally so hopeless, confused, depressing, whatever, we should just kill ourselves.
Sure, he says that. But then Camus, number one, lived to a ripe old age. Number two, celebrated in his book, The Plague, which when I read it in high school, I just assumed it was all about what horrible things happen. But when you reread it, and I did, it's also about the resilience of the human spirit. So now you have a choice. Well, there are the terrible things that happen in the world that we can't do anything about. Then there's the resilience of the human spirit. Which one am I going to focus on? Which one am I going to celebrate? And I'm not talking about a silly eyes wide shut, blinkers on, I can't see any of the bad thing in the world. But I'm talking about some choices you can make about what kinds of things you want to be mindful of and celebrate in your life.
You have a wonderful quote that until I was reviewing the book, I had heard it before, but I frankly had forgotten it. Robert Kennedy, who said, every time you stand up for an ideal, you send forth a tiny ripple of hope.
Yeah, any ideal. You know, an ideal, you know, meaning a condition that probably affects in a positive way the largest number of people. And that is an ideal situation, at least it is for me. And that speaks to the hopefulness that can come from an activism. And as I say, you don't have to cure cancer.
Right.
You know, you can just support a person that has cancer.
Exactly.
I mean, anything that you can do in fellowship with other people. And this is coming from someone that spent many years kind of not interacting with people. So, and that's me.
Yeah.
So this is new for me, too, I must admit.
But to see these steps as I was going to say useful. Maybe that is the right word. Useful in an important way. Every one of these steps, even if you have to occasionally take a step back, because we all have started trips, you know, we wish we hadn't, and we decide, we haven't gone that far. Let's go in another direction. That's okay, right?
I have a lot of smart, thoughtful friends, and many of them are depressed. And I don't want the smart, thoughtful people to be depressed.
Right.
I want them to keep their eyes open and be realistic, but I don't want them to be depressed because we need those people.
Exactly.
Put their smart, thoughtful ideas into the world and not get despairing and not say, oh, why? You know? So that's, I'm trying to offer a practical blueprint that isn't overwhelmingly silly or pie in the sky, or as one of my friends said, airy fairy. No. This can work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really delightful about the book. I heartily recommend it. I don't care whether you're an agnostic or an atheist in a sense, or an anti-theist or a theist, but Hope in Small Doses takes a set of very important, overpowering human experience and mixes it with philosophy, mixes it with neuroscience, and comes up with it's not a recipe book. It doesn't tell you everything you're supposed to do, but it certainly, Nikki, gives you a hint about the general direction you ought to take, lest we end up in despair as individuals and the world is the worse for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
As the author, I'm glad to hear that. Listen, thanks so much for being with us again.
Sure.
Hope in Small Doses is the name of the book, published by our friends at the Humanist Press, and available in its print form and in other forms as well at www.hopeinsmalldoses.com. That does it for today's edition. I'm Barry Lynn. We will talk again.